Hello, I'm Nick Fillingham, and welcome to Channel 9, and welcome to my guests, Nick, Naga, John. Hi, guys. Now, this is Project Gustav. We have seen this previously on Channel 9 as part of the Tech Fest coverage, and if you have just watched the Mix keynote with Bill Buxton, you will notice that he actually did a demo of Project Gustav. These are the guys that have built Project Gustav, so we thought we'd get them back for a much more in-depth look at the technology that you guys have created. Nick, whilst we're talking to John and Naga, you're actually going to be using Project Gustav to faithfully recreate this beautiful Cezanne still life. Let me just hold it up for the camera. A beautiful bowl of fruit.
That's right.
And my high school art is failing me. What type of artist was Cezanne? Was he an impressionist?
He was a post-impressionist.
Post-impressionist. I'm sorry, I almost got there. So for the next 10-15 minutes, you're going to be recreating this with Gustav, and we'll check in with you over the next few minutes.
Yeah, please.
So you're going to get to work there on the charcoal, with your charcoal, just kind of sketching away.
Yeah, just like I would going to start sketching this out, blocking in the shapes with this little charcoal pencil, and you guys check in anytime you want to.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's go over to John. Hi, John.
Hi.
Now, you guys are from Microsoft Research, is that
yes.
correct? And what part of MSR? What group are you
We're
in?
We're in a part called the Extreme Computing Group, and we actually look at technologies that change the amount of computing people can do by a lot, qualitatively change their experiences.
Okay. Extreme computing. You also look for ways to, like, bungee jump with laptops and things.
Not so much. Quantum computing is another one of ours, and no bungees involved.
Okay, cool. Well, I was just saying off camera, you know, I've been watching Nick use Project Gustav here for the last maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I'm blown away by it. But I think it's something that's kind of difficult to perhaps articulate what it really is. I mean, some people will have seen things like ArtRage and other painting programs. How do we articulate this as not just being another version of that? What's new here? What have you guys created?
The thing that's new and why it's part of extreme computing is the level of physical simulation we do. We really do simulate. And people have seen this in industry. For example, they sort of got tired of crashing cars together and breaking them. And
how could you get tired of that? Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic.
The simulations got so good at some point that they could stop crashing real cars or do very few of them. But it required a lot of computing.
Right.
Now we have that computing at people's, you know, desktops, and we can have much richer experiences and with a little less mess. But the key point is it's real, honest-to-God simulation, how the particles move, how the brush moves, how the paint interacts with a specific kind of canvas. And that is new, because that much computing was not really possible.
So this is actually an incredibly intensive application from a CPU perspective, from a RAM perspective. Is that correct?
It is, and it has to happen in real time.
Right.
So it would be a very unsatisfying experience for an artist to try to move something and, you know, wait 3 seconds and have it move.
Right.
The key thing is this is happening as he would expect it in the real world, more or less.
Right. So what Nick's actually using here is it's one of the HP laptops that has the multi-touch screen.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a tablet.
Right.
Now this tablet has. Tell me about this tablet. What's unique about that as an input device? Oh, Naga.
So this tablet is a Wacom Intuos 4 tablet, and it can sense tilt as well as the twist. And one of the reasons why that's important is because if you have an asymmetric brush like the one that Nick is using at this point of time, the twist becomes an important aspect if you want to distinguish which orientation the brush is actually at. In most of today's digital painting programs, it's a 2D blob for the most part.
Sure.
And when you basically have more involved input, like a six brush which can detect all 6 degrees of freedom, then these aspects of basically like how the brush gets modeled when you twist the brush, apply the pressure on the canvas, becomes a very important part of the painting experience.
Right, and we're also seeing Nick at the moment, and we'll talk a little bit about this a little bit later, interacting directly with the touchscreen as well, with his thumb, to actually smudge the paint around as well. So let's talk a little bit about the motivation behind, why did you guys create this? I mean, you mentioned before about simulating crashing cars together. Why paint? What's the challenge behind creating a real world kind of paint simulation?
First of all, it's interesting.
Okay,
which is good enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's gorgeous.
Because it's there, as some people might say.
Okay.
But secondly, it was the kind of application that people could really relate to.
Okay.
I mean, you could use this at home.
Sure.
If I, it might be interesting to crash two cars together on your home computer, but might get tired after a while. If you have the talent Nick here has, this is a real lifelong experience.
Sure.
That's a very new one. I mean, if you can, I'm amazed watching him. You know, it's a very tactile operation, and it would just, you know, smashing two toy cars together are not quite the same thing.
Actually, it's interesting. You know, I've seen a few artists go about their craft in real life. You know, using actual canvases and paintbrushes and paint, and there's really not much difference to what Nick's actually doing here in terms of the way that he's interacting with the computer. I suppose that's really one of the things that strikes me as so unique about this experience. Naga, let's talk about what's actually happening here. I've heard you guys mention the word simulation a few times, and really how this differentiates again from other kinds of painting. I don't mean individual products, because we're not trying to compare against products. We're talking about more about the technology behind how you go about achieving this. So you mentioned before simulation. Tell me about simulation. What are you actually simulating here?
So one of the things that we're doing is we are actually taking the canvas texture into account, the height maps basically that are behind these textures for the paper canvases. And then we are taking the different media, like for instance, like now Nick is using oil painting. And then based on the input that you're receiving from the Wacom tablet, we are simulating the brush deformations, just like what you would see in real world. So in order to do that, we've actually captured videos from real brush deformations, and then we have developed algorithms which can incorporate those deformations into our program. And what you would see is that when we mix the colors on the brush, it loads it up similar to what you would see in real world. So the experience is much closer to what people are used to.
Now, you mentioned before about actually taking high-res videos, I should say, of the brushes. It looks to me like you're actually rendering the individual bristles of the brush, as opposed to, you mentioned before with previous painting applications, that sometimes the brush is basically just a 2D shape and you can kind of adjust the orientation or perhaps the skew. Whereas, are you actually rendering all the individual bristles of the brush? Is that how it works?
We are simplifying the problem to an extent that it becomes plausible to simulate at interactive rates. Like for instance, on this tablet, we are able to simulate the physics aspects of it at nearly 100 frames per second, and the simulation is running on a canvas of 2K by 1K resolution, which is fairly high.
Sure.
So we are not simulating each individual bristle, but modeling majority of the aspects of how the brush deforms.
Okay, so there's the canvas, so you're actually simulating the texture of the surface you want to paint on. There's the brush, which obviously is very, very important, and it looks like there's a few different ways to interact with the canvas. But then you're also simulating the paint. Now, that just sounds like that's just a color. How do you go about simulating paint? And, I mean, I'm sure it's a much more difficult task than just putting color on the page.
Yeah, so for that particular thing, what we have is, I mean, when light interacts with the paint, the paint rendering needs to take into account the scattering of the light. Some of those principles are fairly well studied, but you know, we need to take each of those aspects into account when we are simulating and drawing the paint back onto the screen.
And also how viscous the paint is, how it interacts. Really, it's the fluid mechanics of paint.
Right. And so how did you guys, I mean, did you guys have to go and do research on that kind of fundamental element of the particles of individual types of paint? Did this research already exist? Were you just kind of taking libraries that someone else had done the research beforehand?
So two of the people in our group, Nelson Chu, he's worked on watercolor simulation before for his PhD, and Bill Baxter, he's done oil painting simulation for his PhD at University of North Carolina. When they came over here, we said, okay, we really want to make this experience work on a low-end device, but work at a much higher quality than what previous research is able to accomplish.
Right.
So we've developed algorithms which can model the brushes and simulate only the configurations which are interesting. Because in real world, you know, the brushes can deform in all possible ways. And
sure.
We don't want brushes to deform in extreme ways. So
You want them to deform in ways that an artist would be used to.
That's right.
Well. Yeah, you want them to be able to recognize, well, when I kind of do this with my pen on the tablet, it's the same motion that I'm used to when I'm actually working with a physical canvas.
That's right. So we capture only nice deformations for the brushes. Yeah.
And then just the nice ones.
Just the nice ones.
We're going to have a version that only captures nice strokes, so I can paint you.
All right, well, Nick, let's have a look at what you're drawing here. So, again, you started with a blank canvas.
Yes.
You had a charcoal tool where you sketched an outline, and you've now started to go in with different brushes and obviously adding paint. So, did you want to walk us through those individual, like, maybe walk through
steps
the...
a little bit?
Yeah, the beginning.
Yeah, sure. So, I'm using both the touchscreen and the tablet at the same time.
You
probably caught that. Over here... you can kind of see some of the charcoal strokes that I laid down.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, you have paint on your finger, and you accidentally smudged.
But he could erase it in this world.
You can, yes. You haven't ruined your canvas.
And I can just press undo.
Which is kind of nice.
Which is kind of a nice, as a painter, that's kind of a nice thing.
Yes.
Right? Could be good for a car crash.
It could be, yeah. I wonder, yeah, interesting, okay.
And then, as you can see, what I'm doing on this peach down here is really sloppily just laying down a bunch of different color strokes.
And that was your color mixer before. You kind of brought
it up.
You could just throw in a few different colors there and just mix them as if it was real world.
This is my palette.
I'm sorry. That's the right term.
Color mixer.
The color mixer. It's the blob that you mix colors on.
You can see my brush has a bunch of different colors on it now. If I clear it off, I can just start from scratch. And you can actually see how the brush is marking on the palette now. And then mix these together. This is what Naga was talking about with some of the color blending and stuff like that they've done a lot of work on. I mean, these guys gave me the program and a weekend to sort of play with it before the demos started. I got to tell you, the learning curve was just really, really quick, really brief. Just jumped right in and started mixing the paint as I feel like I should be able to. And then you've probably seen me through the course of this demo put down these sloppy strokes like this, and then just jump right in here and start smudging them back and forth with my finger.
And you really you're really getting into that.
This is my favorite part of the program.
All right. It's like, have you gone through many touchscreens yet?
Yeah, you can ask that.
And we'll cut that. Wow. Okay. And so obviously the screen is seeing your thumb. Now I'm assuming there's not the same level of fidelity on the touchscreen as there is with the tablet. How is the touchscreen actually seeing your thumb and your fingers are interacting? Is that different?
This is a capacitor screen out over here, and it can sense the area of your the finger footprint, and we use that information to actually drive the finger painting mode.
Right. So, but I mean, it really serves its purpose here to kind of get in there and start smudging the colors around with your thumb.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
And the impulse to reach in and start touching it is really kind of
don't reach too far.
You know, from coming from a painting background, I really like to kind of get my hands dirty and do that kind of thing. So having that sort of gratification in the program itself is really rewarding.
So let's look at some of the other brushes that you have, and I think that's one of the really interesting ways to illustrate this notion of simulating, you know, a brush and being able to see all the nuances of how you're actually moving the pen around on the tablet. So here's a brush.
This is my favorite one for precisely that purpose. This is the fan brush, and you can see it tilting as I move my hand around.
Sure.
So I can kind of choose, do I just want to kind of put in a little bit of highlights like that, or do I actually want to
make
a big stroke right on?
As your pressure, I'm sorry, I'm just so excited here. As the pressure is coming off, you can actually see the indentations of the canvas that are kind of coming through there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's obviously not a random texture. That's actually... you guys, that's all
the real deal.
That's all math. That's all there.
Yeah.
Wow, this is really cool. So one of the buzzwords at conferences like Mix is natural user interface. I'm sure it's a term you guys have been using for a very long time. I'm sure you're sick and tired of it. You don't want to hear it again. But this really is a very, very tangible application of a natural user interface. In fact, you probably can't get that much more natural, can you?
Right. Well, there are the things you can do, which we would like to do. But you're right, it's not just the simulation, it's what kind of devices and how much computing is available for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll see, this is a pretty good tablet, you'll see displays, people will carry displays around with them on glasses. There are many, many possibilities. This, you know, explosion in computing ability actually allows great many possibilities. Naga?
Yeah, so I think if you think about more natural ways of doing it, if you want to take it to the extreme, you can think about using a normal brush and driving the simulation based on this normal brush. Now, with the new camera-based devices, like, for instance, Surface, we could actually get the footprint of the brushes.
Right.
And we could use that footprint to drive the simulation. And that's a much more compelling way than basically, like, you know, using a pen where you don't get the haptic feedback that you need. So with things like Project Natal, some of the issues that we have with current natural user interfaces, I think they will get alleviated in the longer run.
These are some buzzwords we like to hear on Channel 9, you know, Project Natal and Surface.
Well, we know we all have succeeded when you don't call them natural user interfaces anymore.
That's very true. the fact that we're conscious that this is a simulation, that's when it becomes newy. All right, Nick, let's come back to the demo because I'm really fascinated with this. Let's talk some more about brushes.
Yes.
It looks like you have five brushes on the side, some charcoal tools. Tell us about those.
Let me get this screen right here. Okay. Exactly. Five brushes down the left-hand side of the screen, two charcoal tools, a blending stump, and an eraser.
Sure.
Lightning speed list of what the tools are, but from a painter's perspective, they're all really important, right? You can see earlier on in the broadcast, I started with the charcoal strokes, kind of blocking out some of the major shapes, these grapes and these peaches, this pear, things like that. After that, I went in and jumped in with some of these brushes to put in some wide swaths of color. You can see if I'll put a blank canvas over here. You can see how maybe I would lay the brushes down like that. If I call up this little dialogue here, you can actually see the shape of the brush. And depending on how much pressure I'm putting down, the amount of deformation, the twist, and then you can look at the variety of stroke that you get up here.
And again, that's only possible because instead of having, you know, a 2D brush shape, you guys are actually simulating the actual brush itself. Essentially, you're like a 3D object. That's accurate?
Right. Yes.
And we're also modeling the friction, basically, when the brush comes in contact with the canvas.
And then obviously there'll be different properties for the paint itself based on the type of paint. If you're emulating oil paint or what else is there? Watercolor.
Watercolors, pastels.
Pastels, yeah, right. Okay, so coming back to the brushes.
Yes. So where were we? We were at deformation here.
And there's really only five brushes. Now, you only really need a small number of brushes here because you have the ability to manipulate them in such a way that probably has never existed before with, you know, the different levels of pressure and the direction to actually, as you said before, to deform the shape of that brush. So having five brushes really is not a limitation because you have almost infinite ways in which you can use that brush to actually make it.
Exactly. I think the team has been really smart about how they curated which brushes they offer.
Sure.
My favorite are these two, the fan brush, which gives me this wide flat stroke, and the standard round brush, which if I switch to black, gives me a straightforward kind of brush stroke. And with those, I feel like I can pretty much cover most of it, especially as I...
Whoops. And that's the eraser tool right there.
There's the eraser. Especially as I jump in and then start to manipulate it with my finger, which is how I kind of fill in a lot of the blanks and also really get in there and feel the drawing.
Sure. Probably would be some amazing applications here for kind of traditional calligraphy, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. There's so many things you could do with the ability to have the simulation of the brush itself and this kind of infinite way of interacting with the virtual canvas. Mm-hmm. So what's next for Project Gustav? What are you guys going to do with this new piece of technology? How are we going to kind of get our hands on this? What are we going to do? Without putting you on the spot.
Well, I'm going to get a copy for my daughter. So we are a technology group. Mostly what we look at is new technology. Okay. There are similar technologies. Naga's group has done sound simulation, which allows you to dynamically do things in games.
Wow.
But it's really up to a product group to turn this into a product, and we should be respectfully silent.
And that's probably a good thing to point out for Channel 9 viewers, that Microsoft, not only is it a very big company, but it has lots of different divisions. And Microsoft Research, you guys are researchers.
Absolutely.
You're out there, and you're coming up with crazy harebrained schemes, and you're working out ways to actually bring them to life, as opposed to creating products. So this is Project Gustav. Could we go to an MSR website, perhaps, for more information on this? Or obviously, if you check on Channel 9, search for Project Gustav.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's on research.microsoft.com/Gustav, I think.
Fantastic.
And you'll see the team members who did it, who really deserve quite a bit of credit for this.
Right. Did you want to mention kind of some of them? You mentioned a few guys before in terms of the research that
Nelson
was done.
Nelson Chu, who worked on much of the paint simulation stuff that we've seen today. Bill Baxter, he's worked on the brush modeling. The natural user input, it's mainly worked by Amnish Sood. It's really a small team, but I think they've accomplished a lot in a short duration.
All right, Nick, now you've got your painting to the point where you're happy with it. You're yep. almost finished, or let's say you're finished here.
Let's just say you're finished.
And it looks fantastic, by the way. I'd love a copy of this for my office wall. Now, how do you go about actually saving this? I'm assuming you can flatten and export it to like a JPEG or a PNG?
Yeah, totally, you could. Or you could just save it wet, as I say, which I don't know what they call it, but from an XArt student background, that's how I think of it. Which basically means that at a later day, if I load it back up, I can jump right in and start to manipulate the paint just like I would normally.
Right. So now you guys are actually obviously capturing all the actual brush strokes, so you can go back in history and kind of undo things that you didn't like.
That's right.
That's fantastic. And you can open it up at a different stage and kind of keep working on it or make changes.
Right. Or we could make the paint dry instantaneously.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very, very cool. And John, you mentioned before off camera that this is a very kind of eco-friendly way to go about creating
art. Right. No oil leftovers. It's kid safe, and you don't have to buy new brushes.
Fantastic. And you've got no finger painting on the walls and getting
hopefully
in the clothes.
Hopefully not. That would be real realism.
That's Nui 2.0.
Right.
Don't you think? Yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you very much for your time. This is fantastic. Again, you can find out more about Project Gustav at the Microsoft Research website. Check for Project Gustav or search for it on Channel 9. And guys, we'll see you at MIX. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.